I like to think of myself as a man with a pretty extensive, pretty comprehensive, pretty wide vocabulary. But the other day, I learned a new word from my granddaughter, Ellie. She taught me a word that I didn't know, and the word is skibbity. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that word, but Ellie explained it to me, and then I Googled it, and I talked to a bunch of people who also explained it to me, and I still do not know what that word means. But I think every generation kind of has their own, like, slang. You know, they have, like, their own language. And if nothing else, it has the benefit of driving their parents crazy because they just repeat those words, you know, over and over and over. And older folks, before we judge today's kids for their weird language, let's not forget that 50 years ago, our words were not always that groovy either. I don't know if you've noticed this, that the most common words that become slang, that we keep reinventing and overusing, are usually positive adjectives. They're words that are used to describe things that are good and things that are wonderful, things that are pleasing and excellent and beautiful. So way back in the day, maybe some of you remember, when something was really great, they said it was the bee's knees. Yeah, it was the cat's meow. And then I think for early boomers, things were neat, or swell, or tops. And then things turned groovy, and far out, even out of sight. The word cool had a really good run. But then I think millennials prefer awesome, or rad, or bad, or fly. Right, Gen Z sees cool things as being fresh, fire, or dope. Gen Alpha prefers slay, or bussin', or goated. And these words all describe what? Good stuff. They all describe greatness and beauty and wonder. And they're not bad words. They're mostly not even new words. But I think in each generation, would they just get like a little too popular, and then they're used and reused and overused to the point that you just say, I am going to choke the next person that says awesome to me. But I'm pretty convinced, and especially now with social media, that the most overused positive adjective in English history is being used in our time right now, and it's the word amazing. Oh, she's amazing. That food is amazing. That worship song today, just amazing. Oh, the graphics on that video game are amazing. The new iPhone camera is amazing. Everything is amazing. Oh, these shoelaces, they're just amazing. Oh, I had a bowel movement this morning. It was just amazing. You know, we're not gonna pick today or argue like which generation does it right, or which word best or worst describes what's good or excellent or beautiful or totally tubular. That's another message, and that's for another day. But I think it's important for us to notice this. In every generation, we want so much to describe excellence and wonder and beauty that we keep coming up with new ways to say it. We just so want to talk about things that astound us, things that dazzle us, things that leave us breathless, and things that amaze us, that we use those words till they literally make people crazy. And I think it's important for us to see that, because I think it points out something really important about what it is to be a human being. And that is that we love, we seek. I think inside of us, we crave seeing the awesome. Deep down, we want to experience the truly swell. You know, there's something in us that wants to just be part of the dope. You know, we just want to be near what's totally rad. We all have this like built-in longing, I think, to be amazed. And that's why people will spend whatever it costs, to go to an amazing concert or eat at an amazing restaurant or play an amazing golf course or see amazing art. And it's not just consumer goods. It's not just events. Don't you just love to see an amazing sunset? Don't you just love to see a beautiful view of the beach? Don't you love to just hear stories of amazing healings or amazing miracles or amazing life change or amazing love? I mean, that's what most books and movies are. They're stories of amazing. And it's not just these words, man. Human beings are obsessed with amazing. There's something in us that like yearns, you know, to be amazed. And so I'm wondering why. You know, why do we sense this need to describe, but also to just see and just to experience amazing? And I think it's because we were created for God's kingdom. That's the world that we were created for. And that world by default is amazing. Right? I mean, if you think of Eden, everything was so awesome. You know, everything was perfect. Everything was beautiful. Everything was literally sensual, you know, because everything you felt or saw or smelled or touched or tasted was amazing. Everything was literally perfect. The water, the food, the relationships, the beauty, the presence of God, that's the world that we were created for. And that world is amazing. But then humans and sin and Satan and death killed a lot of the amazing in our world. And I think that's why now we try so hard to even name it, and why we try so hard to find it and experience it and see it, because somewhere deep in us as human beings, we miss awesome. I think we are homesick for amazing. We want to taste delicious. We want to see beautiful. We want to experience amazing. But those things now are so rare that when we see them, it's like literally exceptional. When we see those things, it even feels unnatural. When we see those things, we call those experiences miracles. And I think this is why we're so drawn to the beautiful and the miraculous and the amazing, is those things remind us deep in our soul of who we really are and what we were really created for. I think miracles remind us of Eden. I think miracles remind us of God's kingdom. And that's our real home. And that's what we were created for. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to bring back God's kingdom. He came back to bring back a place of beauty and of perfection, a place of amazing. He came to bring back a place where our bodies and our minds and our relationships and our circumstances are always amazing. I mean, the norm, right? The default position there is good in the kingdom of God. The default position of the kingdom of God is beautiful. It's groovy. No, it's fresh. It's skibbity bussin. It's in God's kingdom, like perfect, healthy bodies and minds are not called miraculously healed. They're called normal. And perfect, loving relationships between people and between us and God, that's not amazing. That's just Tuesday. That's every day. Because in God's kingdom, every moment is what we now call a miracle. Everything and everyone, every day is amazing. And the yearning that we have for amazing is actually homesickness. We just want to experience what we were created for, God's kingdom. And that's why we like to call those miraculous events, those amazing things, kingdom samples. And helping people experience the kingdom is one of the core values of our mission statement at this church. These amazing miracles, and we get a little taste of these amazing miracles. It reminds us of home. It reminds us of the world that we were created for. So we call them kingdom samples. So today, one of my favorite illustration, Costco samples. Don't you love them? I mean, isn't that the reason we go to Costco? And listen, it's usually that terrible healthy stuff, but once in a while, they give the ultimate sample at Costco, and I think we all know what that is. Sanders chocolate sea salt caramels.
Yep.
Yeah, praise Jesus, right? These are so awesome, man. I love these things, and they are so good. But listen, I can smell it. Don't take my word for it. Let me get a volunteer. Who would like to help me dig up the septic system this week? Just, Rick, I think your hand was up. Yeah, it was, you were the first one. Come on up. Just taste one. And listen, you just taste it. Just stick your hands in there. They're clean enough.
You know my face swells up when I eat chocolate.
That's okay. That'll be fun. We'll have a healing later. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. Only get one word. What's your word?
Amazing.
Amazing. There it is. I could not have. God, this smells so awesome. They're skivvity. No, that's the thing, right? So that's the problem. That's the problem, is that they are just so great, you kind of want the whole jar, right? And that's the bad part of samples, is that you aren't allowed to eat the whole jar. And believe me, that's been explained to me many times by that bossy manager at Costco. You can't have the whole jar, but what you can have is a taste of what is to come if you buy the whole jar. Only then it'll be even better, because then you can have all you want. So if you buy, this amazing taste is now and later. It's here and it's coming. Part of the reason that God's coming kingdom is so amazing is because nobody's hungry there. And nobody's sick there. And nobody's blind there. And nobody dies there. And Satan and his demons don't exist there.
Amen.
So when Jesus went around doing miracles, what was he doing? He was feeding hungry people. He was healing the sick. He was curing the blind. He was raising the dead. He was casting out demons. Did you see what he was doing? He was giving samples of God's kingdom. And his kingdom, just like that candy, is both. It's here and it's yet to come. And this is why Jesus said, oh, the kingdom's already here. And then he said, pray that God's kingdom will come, because it's here and it's coming later. It's already and not yet. So here, we don't get to experience amazing all the time. And when we do, it's a miracle. It's amazing. We get to experience these kingdom samples. And here, those samples of what it's really like every day in God's kingdom are these miracles, like healing in your body or in your mind or in your relationships. That's a sample of what it's going to be like in God's kingdom when nobody's ever sick and nobody's ever broken. There are miracles of God's provision, where God just provides exactly what we need. Do you see what that is? That's a little sample of what it's going to be like when God provides everything that we ever need. There's miracles of purpose, where we feel like, gosh, I am part of something so much bigger than me. God is partnering with me in this thing. That amazing sense of purpose is what it's like every day in God's kingdom. Sometimes we have a taste of amazing community. You know, the Bible talks about everybody from every tongue, every tribe, every language, every people group coming together, united in Jesus, really fully together, real community. And I think sometimes we get a little taste of that when we really love each other here, but I don't know, maybe the best sample that we have of God's kingdom is when we sample his presence. And maybe you felt that when you're reading the word and it's just like, ah. Or when you're praying and it just like feels like he's hearing you. Maybe you feel like you're hearing him. Or in worship, we know that we don't worship for us, we worship for him because he deserves it, but there's a really cool side benefit that we feel connected to God. We sense his presence, and that is just an amazing, that's an amazing sample of what it's gonna be like in the kingdom, because in the kingdom, he's fully with us all the time. That's the norm there. Here, it's a miracle. So I don't know, maybe you've experienced samples of God's kingdom. Maybe you've seen a miracle or a healing or a restored life or a resurrected marriage, or maybe you've experienced God's provision, or maybe you've experienced his presence in worship or his purpose. I mean, I have to tell you, whenever I get a chance to preach or to lead somebody to Jesus or to baptize somebody or to pick up trash after an event, it's an amazing miracle to me that God would include me in some little way in his plan. To think that I get to be, that's what we're created to be, right? A partner with God. That's an amazing taste. And a couple of weeks ago, we got to baptize a whole bunch of people one day, and it was just an awesome day, man. It was just the best. And as everybody was leaving, I was kind of reflecting what that was to be there and experience that and be part of that. And I really thought, if that's the only reason I was put on earth, was for today. That's enough. The feeling of purpose, of being part of God's plan, is amazing. It's a miracle. Just a sample of what it's going to be like when his kingdom has fully come. So I'm just curious if you've experienced a miracle, and maybe it's a healing or a provision or a purpose or his presence or in community. How many of you would say you've actually seen some kind of miracle? It's a lot. It's a lot. And if you haven't, would you like to? And if you have, would you like to see more? Yeah. Would you like more samples? Because I know at Costco, I would just hang out there all day. But that store manager is the worst. So would you love to see more miracles in your life and just see other miracles all around you? Who would like to see more miracles? It's just, I mean, it's everybody. It's in us to want that. So remember, God's kingdom is not like this world. Right? Everything there is different. Everything there is upside down. I mean, the first will be last. The weak will be strong. The poor will be rich. Right? The leaders serve their subordinates. It's countercultural. Right? It's counterintuitive. It's backwards. It's upside down. So in our world here, now, the people who get to see amazing the most are the rich and the powerful and the popular and the privileged. Because here, if you want to see miracles, I mean, here, if you want to see amazing, you go to the museum, or you go to the Super Bowl, or you go to the beach, or you go to a concert, or you go to Pebble Beach Golf Club. But Jesus teaches and models a different way to see miracles, an upside-down, countercultural, counterintuitive, backwards way to see miracles, and it's the way to experience miracles and to experience amazing in God's kingdom. Because in his kingdom, you know who sees the miracles? Servants. Servants. Weird, huh? It's upside down, right? It's counterintuitive. Yeah, because in our world, servants serve, right? And then the people they serve, the servees, are the ones who experience amazing. So if you want to experience amazing here, if you want to see miracles here, then you better be rich or successful or powerful or popular or privileged. But again, Jesus has come to announce the coming of a new world, a new kingdom, God's kingdom. And in his kingdom, there's a very different, countercultural, upside-down way to experience amazing in the way of Jesus. If you want to experience amazing, if you want to see and even be part of miracles, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be powerful or popular or privileged. You just have to be a servant. And that sounds weird, but that's what Jesus taught. This is Matthew 20, 25. He's got all of his disciples together, and he calls them together, it says, and he said, you know, the rulers in this world, they lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, in God's kingdom, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become like a slave. For even the Son of Man, even Jesus, didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus not only taught serving, he modeled it as the way of the kingdom. One of his last acts, one of the last things Jesus did before he died was not drinking champagne in a luxury box at the Super Bowl. And it wasn't eating at a great restaurant. And it wasn't having a spa day and a facial and a foot massage. Do you remember what he did? Yeah. In John 13, he put on an apron and he knelt down, get that picture, and he washed the gross, dirty, disgusting feet of his disciples. Why would he do that? Well, he's fixing to save the world. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? And he told them why he did it. He said, I did this as an example for you. So you're my followers. Follow me. You know, serve one another. The way of Jesus, the way we follow him, the way we become like him, the way we experience his amazing, miraculous kingdom here and now is through serving others. It's the key. It's the key that unlocks amazing. It's like the secret to experiencing the miraculous kingdom of God in this world, here and now. And I'm going to put it very plainly for you. Servants see the miracles. That's it. Servants see the miracles. John 2 is the story of Jesus' first miracle here on earth. You guys know the story? It's the wedding at Cana. So there's this wedding going on. They're out of wine. It's a big social disaster. Jesus' mom says, oh, Jesus, we're out of wine. Jesus is like, Mom, it's not really my time right now. And she goes, okay, well, don't take care of that. He's like a mom. And she just goes, look what she says. His mother told the servants, people working there, just do whatever he tells you. Standing by, there were 6 stone water jars, these big old jars full of water. And verse 7, Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew. See that? Though of course the servants knew. He said, the master of ceremony said, a host always serves the best wine first. And then when everybody's had a lot to drink, he brings out the cheap stuff. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee is the first time Jesus was revealed his glory, and the disciples believed in him. Jesus revealed his glory for this first time through a miracle. And here's what I think is really interesting. The MC and the host and the bride and the groom and the parents and the guests and all that stuff, they were blessed. They were blessed because they got some great wine or whatever. But for all they knew, it was just a great wedding planner. Right? For all they knew, they just had plenty of wine in the first place. They didn't see a miracle. Who saw the miracle? The servants. They were uniquely positioned to see the miracle. Servants see the miracles. That was Jesus' first miracle. The most famous miracle, other than the resurrection of Jesus, is the feeding of the 5,000. So I'll look at Mark 6:44. There's only, other than the resurrection, there's only one miracle that all 4 gospel writers tell us about, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only one miracle makes it into all of their stories, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. So you guys know that story. Jesus is preaching. There's a bunch of people around there. They left the boat. A bunch of people recognized him, started following him. people from all the towns right ahead of them. Jesus saw this huge crowd as he got off the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, Jesus has been teaching them all day now. His disciples come to him and said, "This is a remote place, man. It's already getting super late. Chick-fil-A's closed. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy us something to eat." And Jesus said, "You feed them." And they asked, "With what?" Right, we would have to work for months to earn enough money to buy all the food for these people. And Jesus asked, "How much bread do you have? Go find out." And they came back and said, "We got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now pay attention here. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups. So the people sat down in groups. And then Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and he looked up to heaven and he blessed them. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples, so they could distribute it to the people. And he also divided the fish for everybody. Everybody ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed." Now, that's a cool story by all accounts. Somewhere between 20,000 people were blessed that day with tasty fish sandwiches. But I'm not sure any of them knew that a miracle happened. They just thought the ticket included dinner and a show. You know, like they didn't know. They didn't know. There's people passing out food. They didn't know that it was a miracle, but the disciples knew. Why? Because they were uniquely positioned to see a miracle. They were serving. They weren't doing glamorous stuff, right? Pouring water into jars is not glamorous work. Passing out fish, sitting people down, picking up trash afterwards, it's not glamorous work, but they were serving. And when they serve, they position themselves to experience amazing, to see miracles. Servants see the miracles. The first miracle that Jesus performed, the most popular miracle that Jesus performed, and the most important miracle that Jesus performed is in all the books. But we're going to look at Luke 24. It's the resurrection. So Jesus is on the cross now, and they're taking his body down, and they're wrapping him up and all that stuff. This is Luke 23:54. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation. This is the day that they spent getting ready for Sabbath. And the Sabbath was about to begin, and his body was taken down. The women from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb where his body was placed, and they went home and prepared spice and ointments. They didn't have mortuaries, right? They didn't have a funeral home to go to. So what these women were doing was they were gathering up soap and water and spices to clean. Jesus is covered with sweat and spit and blood and tears, and they're going to go clean him. That's what's happening. And so they gather up, think of like Home Depot buckets, right? They've got buckets of this stuff to clean him up with. But look at this verse. It says, by the time they finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they're ready to roll. They're ready to go clean him up, but it's Friday at 6 o'clock, so they can't do any work. From Friday at 6 p.m. till Saturday at 6 p.m., they're not allowed to work. So they can't do anything. So here's these Home Depot buckets sitting in their house, right? And now there's nothing they can do. They can't work during the Sabbath. Well, now the Sabbath comes and goes. Now it's Saturday night, 6 o'clock, the sun's going down. It's too dark to go over there. So there's nothing they can do now. But here's chapter 24, verse 1. But very early, Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb and they took those spices that they had prepared and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in. But they didn't find the body of Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, 2 men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes, and the women were terrified, and they bowed with their faces to the ground. But the men asked, well, here's a great verse, why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and he would rise again on the third day. And then the women remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to the tomb to tell the important people, right? To tell the 11 disciples and everybody else what happened. Who was it? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what happened. So this is really, I think, key. The first witnesses of the most important, greatest miracle ever. We're not the apostles. And they weren't preachers or religious leaders or philosophers or kings. They were just some women. And they weren't preaching. And they weren't planting churches. And they weren't writing great books or worship songs. What were they doing? They were, yeah. They're carrying buckets of soap. They're carrying spices to clean the gunk off of a dead body. They were just serving. And by serving, they were uniquely positioned to experience amazing. Just by serving, they positioned themselves to see miracles. Servants are uniquely positioned near the amazing. Servants see the miracles. And it's not just 2,000 years ago. A lot of you guys know the Kelly family, Paul and Lauren. They recently hosted a family from Mongolia for 5 weeks. And it was because they had a little, this family had a 17-month-old baby boy that needed heart surgery that's not available where he lives. So Samaritan Ministries organizes hospitals and surgeons and airlines and this church to serve this need. So Paul and Lauren opened their home, and for 5 weeks they cared for him and his mom and their translator. So Paul and Lauren served that family. They cooked for them, cleaned up after them. They chauffeured them around at their expense, on their time, with their energy. And they don't get reimbursed for the food or the gas or the time or the energy they spent. But there's a pretty cool perk because that little boy's healed. And he's healthy. And he's fine. And he's going home. And they were there to see that miracle. And this little boy's mom was so amazed at the love of Jesus that she saw in them that even though she had never heard of Jesus before this, she became a Christian while they were here. She even asked Lauren to baptize her. Take a look at that. That's a front row seat to a miracle, right? That's Lauren seeing a miracle, experiencing amazing. So I can tell you, I'm pretty sure, Paul and Lauren will never be the same. They've experienced amazing. They've seen a miracle. They saw lots of miracles of community and of healing and of provision and of salvation. And they saw those miracles not because they're brilliant, although they are, and not because they're talented, although they are, and not because they're pretty, although they are. They saw those miracles because they were uniquely positioned to see those miracles. Just like the servants at the wedding. Just like the apostles passing out the fish sandwiches. Just like those women on resurrection morning, they were servants. So if you would like to have some samples of God's coming kingdom in your life here and now, and if you would like to spend less time in the plain and mundane and more time in the totally tubular, in the far out, in the rad, and bussin', if you want to experience amazing, if you want to see more miracles, remember, servants see the miracles. And there are a million ways and places and people to serve. It doesn't even have to be a big deal. I mean, in none of those cases, it was a big deal. It doesn't require special talent. In none of those cases was special talent required. No training, no education, no gifting was required. It was just serving. It could be anything. It could be anything. It could be in your house with your family or your friends. It could be as simple as refilling somebody's coffee. or taking their dishes. In your community, just serving, just helping people. A strange man gave me a stamp at the post office the other day because they were out of stamps. And just serving. I don't know who he was. I'll never be able to see him again or thank him again. He just, it's just serving. It might seem small. I don't know what a stamp costs right now, but it might seem like a small thing. It might not seem like it was an opening to amazing, but in God's kingdom, that's how it works. Servants see the miracles. In fact, one of the best purposes of the church is that it's a place for Jesus' followers to follow Jesus by serving, because there's so many ways. There's so many places. There's so many people to serve. Think about our kids' ministry. The people in our kids' ministry have seen hundreds of children accept Jesus. How's that for seeing a miracle? And you know what they were doing when they saw those miracles? It wasn't writing a book, right? It was teaching kids. It was singing songs. It was picking Play-Doh out of a little girl's hair, right? It was that's what it was. They were just serving. There's lots of places here to serve. The hospitality team, man, there's so many ways to serve on our hospitality team. Greeters and the parking lot, the kitchen donut team, safety and security team. We need help with the safety and security team. It's just a place to serve. And we have openings right now in our media team. This is the people that run the screens and the lights and the cameras and everything. And it's fun work and it's exciting work, but it's better than that because it's a way to position yourself to see miracles. If you want to serve, if you want to find a place to serve here, then on your way out today, just grab a connection card. There's a box on there, a check it that says volunteering, and we'll call you and we'll help you find a place that's right for you and the amount of time that's good for you. And maybe it's your gifting and your talent and your education and your experience. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just helping. Maybe it's just serving. But however you serve and whoever you serve, and wherever you serve, if you really want to follow Jesus and follow his model and follow his teaching, serve. And if you really want to fit in the kingdom of God, if you really want to thrive and flourish in the kingdom of heaven, serve. If you really want to experience amazing, if you really want to see and even be part of miracles, serve. Servants see the miracles. Let's pray. Father, we know that each one of us has something inside of us, this craving, this homesickness for your kingdom. We want to see miracles. We want to be amazed by beauty and wonder, your power, your presence, and your provision. God, we thank you for the samples that we experience here, these little miracles where we get just a little taste of what it's going to be like when we're fully with you in your kingdom all the time. And God, I just pray that you'll just reveal to each of us ways that we can position ourselves to experience amazing, that you'll just show us open doors. Maybe it's here at church, maybe it's someplace else, but just show us places that we can follow the teaching and the model of Jesus by serving. He's our rabbi. We want to be with him. We want to be like him. We want to do the stuff that he did, and that means serving. God, we want to fit in. I don't care about fitting in here, but we want to thrive and flourish in your kingdom. God, and between now and then, we want to see miracles. We want to experience amazing. So will you just show us places and give us the courage and just give us the willpower to step forward and say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to thrive in his kingdom. I want to see miracles. I'm going to serve. God, I pray that you'll show each of us just a little glimpse from time to time of how amazing it is to serve you, to be like you, to be part of your kingdom, and to see miracles. In your name, amen.